This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Today we have a very special guest on the show, Chuck Hattemer, one of the co-founders of OneRent and also a startup that Bluefield, the venture capital fund that I run, has invested in. Chuck, welcome to the show. How are you?
Zane, great to be here. Thanks for having me today. I'm doing really well. Just enjoying the new summer weather here in California.
Chuck, so you guys have a very exciting story, almost like a fairy tale story of how startups are founded. Why don't you walk us through how you guys and your co-founders came up with the idea for OneRent and a bit about your backgrounds?
Yeah, so myself and my two partners, Greg and Rico, we started OneRent about 6 years ago, and we were fresh out of a college housing experience that was just terrible. We had our landlords rip up our leases in front of us and say, hey, turns out you can't rent this home. Rico was living in a makeshift room out of a house that he barely got into last minute. And it was just something that was top of mind and tip of tongue for all of our peers and ourselves, you know, where you're gonna live with, who you're living with, and what a pain just the overall process was as a student. You know, your first introduction into the housing market was just this really contentious environment between you and landlords and property managers. And so we figured, you know, because this was a problem that was really important to people and our peers and ourselves, that it was something that we were curious about solving. So we actually started OneRent as a college housing platform to help people find and lease a place off campus once they moved out of the dorms. We ended up leasing about 90% of the inventory around Santa Clara University where we started OneRent in that first year, and really saw a huge interest from other college campuses, other students around this problem of housing. College housing is a very seasonal business, and we also noticed that we weren't really able to truly transform the rental experience from beginning to end, because we were just a platform that was kind of a tool that people could use, but really the different parties in the transaction sort of guided how the experience went. So about a year after we started, we transformed into a full service tech-enabled property management solution for small residential housing. And we expanded beyond the student market, because this is a problem that many different landlords and real estate investors experience, is how to deliver, you know, a great experience while being efficient and using technology to automate as much as possible.
So Chuck, how did you guys end up living together? Were you guys friends before that, or were you just randomers who happened to share a place and, you know, trying to make money from each other?
We were all in the same business organization at Santa Clara University. It's called AKSI. It was a business sort of fraternity, co-ed fraternity that we were part of.
And just through that, the three of you happened to be living together, and then you guys decided to, that's one way to pick your co-founders, hey? You guys have a mutual problem, you try to solve it, and you're like, okay. So how did that conversation go? Like, when did you guys decide to turn this into a real company versus just a little side gig to make more money from your, lease?
Yeah. Well, it was funny, you know, initially the first idea for OneRent actually ended up in the waste basket as a crumpled up piece of paper in the trash. And it was something that, you know, all of us, myself and Rico, had worked together previously on. I had a web design company and marketing agency previously. We had done some work on that. Greg was into real estate and working in real estate development in the Bay Area. And the first idea ended up in the trash because we thought, okay, you know, this is too simple of a solution. No one's going to use this. And then
You mean too simple or too obvious?
Too obvious, I guess. It seemed too obvious.
It's like, this is a problem everyone surely deals with. Sometimes I find that, I mean, I'll tell you what I found. I've come up with startup ideas over, the last couple of years, and I feel like this is so new. As a venture capitalist, 3 months later, I've got someone pitching me the very idea, but they're far, far further ahead. So I can imagine what it must be like when, and I thought my ideas were unique, you know, and disruptive. So yeah, like student housing and figuring out how to, you know, how to find new tenants is seems like an age-old problem.
Yeah, and this was 2014. It's, you know, Zillow had already been around, and these other sort of platforms have been around. So we figured, that, you know, they'll probably figure it out. But then it sort of hit us in the face that, you know, wait a second, if we can actually become the operator of these rental properties and, you know, build technology for the whole end-to-end experience, there's nothing like that was out there at the time. It's a really fragmented industry, the rental market. And so we were knocking on the doors of these property managers. We would literally show up at their offices and talk to them. And it just became obvious that actually the real solution wasn't out there. And that's when we picked the idea back up again.
And, you know, looking at yourself, looking at Greg and Rico, you guys seem like the dream team. Such different skill sets, you know, and Rico especially is such a great engineer, and he's got such a good technical background. I'm assuming that must have played a big part in things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the most valuable things that Rico was the one before us that had actually launched a few products and you know, done some venture work. And so he told us, look, you know, your ideas are not unique. It's all about execution, and you got to get outside of the building and start talking to people. And so, you know, we were in the library at Santa Clara University interrupting people studying for their finals, saying, hey, you know, we put a stack of papers with the printed out of the app on their desk and said, hey, can you imagine going through this mobile app? You know, what would you click? What would you do? And explain to them our idea. So that was really valuable learning, is just, you know, don't withhold your ideas. You got to share them to get feedback. And it's, people always have a fear of someone stealing their idea, but I'm sure, as you know, Zane, you know, it's not about the idea, it's about the execution and you know, getting it out there in the market, learning what customers you're going to solve problems for.
Exactly. It's, imagine someone who's a great developer or an architect, right? And they've created, you know, a blueprint that's been really well thought out. And then someone else looks at the overall idea, is like, oh, let me copy that. Well, good luck. You know, unless you really were involved in every aspect of it, you're just going to be copying a shell, and you don't really get to the spirit of the actual idea and what's needed. So I'm a believer in being transparent and open in the industry, even announcing to people, you know, what your big goals are. And this is sort of an attitude about abundance. You know, when you believe that wealth is abundant, when you believe that, you know, you're not out of the scarcity, you're not operating in the scarcity mindset, but you're operating in a mindset where, hey, if more competition comes, that's great. It validates the industry. That's when you really become a leader in the industry. You're not here trying to, you know, protect a little inch of space that, frankly, it's all about execution. You know, ideas are worthless.
And it's especially pronounced in real estate, as I'm sure you know, you've seen and you saw it in advertising, just how massive the market really is. You know, it's a $200 trillion plus market in global asset class. So it's a whole economy.
So Chuck, thinking about choosing your co-founders, what's your thoughts on or advice for any founders who just don't know how to get started? So obviously one idea is get out there, share your idea, talk to people about it. But how about finding your co-founder? Do you think you can do it as a solo entrepreneur? You know, you guys happen to just live together by chance. I'm sure you guys may not have chosen each other, you know, if you had a big sample set of people you could work from. You guys just happen to work together and you realize this works. Any sort of ideas you have around how to find a co-founder?
Yeah, you know, honestly, being in a university and a college campus environment, it sort of forces you to have a lot of those interactions with other people that are same sort of age, mindset, and are going through the same problems in life. So, you know, I'd have to say that for me, that worked, right? We were all going to the same school. We all knew that each of us was into, you know, running and doing our own business ventures. And that was because the organization sort of tied us together. So, you know,
this fraternity.
Yeah.
Like-minded, you're all interested in doing something with your lives. Was a general career on the cards for you guys, or was it clear you guys wanted to eventually do your own startup?
You know, all of us eventually wanted to do our own thing because that was just something we had done in the past. I mean, all the way back to childhood, I used to run a handy boy business. I put up flyers around my neighborhood offering landscaping services. Greg got his jobs in real estate by showing up on their doorstep and saying, "Hey, I'm going to work here." And then Rico had convinced his parents that to come from Australia over to the U.S., go to school here, talked his way into Santa Clara University, and then launched a few different projects. So all of us had that sort of tendency previously. And, you know, we were like-minded, but at the same time, that business fraternity, it was a very diverse group of people. It was co-ed, and our different sort of world experiences, especially Rico growing up in Hong Kong and then his family living in Australia, it offered a lot of different perspective. And, you know, Rico was left with the decision of he needs to go work at a big company to be able to work after he in the U.S. after he graduates, or, you know, make One Rent, our company, into a legitimate enterprise and start building that. And so that was a big motivator for us just getting started and going.